Now, back to the Steve Gruber Show on MTN.
All right, joining me now, one of my favorite guests when it comes to understanding the economy and what's happening, you know, out there with America. Dr. Richard Ebling, BB&T, Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina. Professor, welcome back.
Great to be with you again. Thanks for having me on, and good morning.
And good morning to you. Let's talk about, you know, the economy has been doing quite well since Donald Trump became president. Last month, 313,000 jobs added. It was only expected to be about 190,000, so greatly outperforming once again. So good, in fact, that CNN has turned off their jobs clock. I think they put it up there at one point to try to make Trump look bad. He's far exceeded the number of jobs since being in office. But you're concerned about tariffs and protectionism. Do tell.
Yes. Let me start off by saying that I believe that the degree of attempted deregulation that the Trump administration has been pursuing, certainly the tax breaks in the tax reform bill, are all positive elements. But the fact is that tariffs are a way of taxing the American consumer and to make imports of raw materials more costly for American manufacturers. And in that sense, it runs counter to the positive incentives that the tax cuts were supposed to introduce. I also would argue that for all of Trump's positive elements in the way I've mentioned, this direction of thinking that trade with other nations is somehow fundamentally or inherently harmful or counterproductive to the economic betterment of the United States is really misguided. Trade is always two ways. If we import things, it's only because other nations want to earn our dollars to be able to buy things from us. Trade is always a two-way street.
All right, so let me ask you this.
People only trade when it benefits both sides.
All right, let me ask you this, because here's the confusion that a lot of people have. All right, we send steel to China from the United States. It gets taxed heavily going into China and Japan and Germany and a variety of other places. If they send their stuff here, doesn't happen. And that's true of a lot of things. We have trade imbalances where, $800 billion a year with China alone? And the list goes on of people that we have trade imbalances with, different countries. So I can understand, and so can most people understand, the desire by this president or by anybody in charge to try to even that out. How do you get there without punishing the American consumer? How do you get there to make a fair and level playing field when you know that the other folks aren't playing by the same rules?
Well, first, let me point out is that, if I may, that the trade imbalance is not a problem.
Okay.
In the sense that, let us suppose the Chinese sell us $1,000 of their goods. And with the dollars that they've earned, that $1,000, they spend $800 on our equivalent consumer items that they then import into China. What can they do with the other $200? Well, they only have a set of possibilities other than storing the dollars away in a drawer. That would be to invest in American companies or to invest in the financial institutions in the United States by putting those $200 into a savings account and adding to our pool of investable funds for American borrowers. So at the end of the day, the balance of trade balances. It's just a matter of whether they buy goods, invest in an American company, or indirectly invest by putting money in an account and therefore adding to our savings pool. So at the end of the day, the balance of trade balances. The other element of this, if I can just take another minute, because
sure.
I know there's confusion about this.
We're trying to learn. I think it's important. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter if we have a trade imbalance with any one country. I have a trade imbalance with my local grocery store. Why is that the case? I buy more food from them than the owner and the employees buy economics lectures from me. But I have trade surpluses with other people, such as the students and the parents of the students at the Citadel, who are buying my services, but I may buy very little of their actual goods that they produce in the marketplace. So I use the dollars I earn in one direction to spend in other areas where those people don't buy as much from me as I buy from them. So at the end of the day, the trade balance balances, whether for its individual or for the nation as a whole.
All right, so let's go back to the tariffs then, because we've heard this for a long time. And it does make me wonder when the AFL-CIO embraces the Trump idea and is rejected soundly by most conservative folks like yourself. Tell me about this idea, though, that it gets taxed going into China or Japan or Germany, but it doesn't get taxed coming the other way. How does that make sense? How is that appropriate?
Well, even if that is the case, if we're taking goods from them, that they then are taxing our goods coming to the U.S. and attempt to minimize those imports, the people who should be complaining are the Chinese. They're the ones who are then having to pay more for American goods. Or sometimes Trump has been arguing, but what about foreign countries such as China and others who subsidize their exports to the United States? Again, the people who should be complaining are the taxpayers of China. It's their wealth that is being taxed away to give a subsidy to a Chinese exporter so American goods get a good on the cheap.
Professor, I have great respect for you.
At a discount to us.
Professor, I have great respect for you, as you know. But I don't think you complain in China. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't think as a consumer you complain in China or have, marches in the streets. I don't think that works there.
Correct. You're absolutely right, because theirs is a far more closed society. There is still a one-party communist system. But that means that their people are made to force having a lower standard of living to subsidize American import consumers importing consumers or producers who buy that steel to manufacture things in the United States. And by the way, most of the steel that we do import is from Mexico and Canada. Only a small fraction actually comes from China itself.
No, I was just using China as an example, but thank you for that clarification. So you think the tariffs are folly? Of course, he's excluded. He has the president, both Canada and Mexico. I've got about 20 seconds. I'll give you the last word, Professor.
Free trade is always better than closed trade. And whenever the government attempts to restrict these things, follow the money. It's some domestic special interest group who wishes to be protected from a foreign competitor who's trying to offer something more attractive to American consumers right here at home.
A professor, always an education, Dr. Richard Ebling, BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. And see, I get an education. I don't even have to buy it, sir, and I appreciate that.
It's always my pleasure. Thanks for having me on again.
There you go. Quick break. We'll be right back.